Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. What a good time with Dr. David Curry, talking about global Christian relief, the persecuted church. Hopefully you are encouraged. It motivates you when you realize what's happening around the world. Maybe you've heard me say it before, but what would be worse? You don't have a Bible to read because it's illegal, or you have a Bible, but you just don't read it? What would be worse? You can't read because you lack the education, or you don't read because you just don't care? Thank you for your exciting response. Okay, let's keep it going. What would be worse? It's illegal to have church. You can't gather, you can't worship, you can't sing Christian songs, or you can, but you don't go because you're busy. Golf is on TV. March Madness. Okay, you're here, so I'm not picking on you, but you know what I'm saying, right? So let's value what we have. Let's thank God for what we have, and let's never take it for granted. Amen? And that's what helping the persecuted church actually does for us, is realizing, man, the Lord has given us so much. I know that you have all heard the saying, America needs a revival. Maybe you've said it, you know, we're watching the news or you're watching a Christian program and somebody makes comments like that. And it seems like a good thing to say, yeah, America needs a revival. So let me just ask this question. Are you revived? If somebody should do something, aren't you somebody? Right? That's kind of a human thing, isn't it? Somebody should do something, right? Somebody should fix that. Somebody should take care of that. And then, of course, we're not the somebody we're talking about. We're talking about somebody else. But if we need a revival, shouldn't it start in us? What if we own that? What if we owned that and we said, the revival starts right here. I'm going to step up in my walk with God. I'm going to step up in my prayer life. I'm going to step up in my spiritual life. And the revival starts right here. To be revived is to awaken or to come alive. So sometimes you can hear the word revival spoken about different things, like a band is on a revival tour. But it literally means to come alive. So with God, a revival is we step up in our faith and in our vision and in our spiritual life, and we realize God is doing something real in our lives. But if we can't say in my life, then we're really kind of hypocritical, aren't we? Like if America needs a revival, you're in America. So let's go. Look with me in Matthew chapter 3. Great to have you with Tasha up at the Mill Creek campus. And we got Coco and Volley down here in Federal Way this week. And welcome to all of our online friends. So we're glad that you are with us wherever you may be. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. So John said the beginning of your connection with God is to repent, be baptized in water. Of course, this was before the cross. Now we make Jesus Lord. We're baptized in water. Jesus said, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Why is baptism important? Well, because the Lord said to do it. But what it means to us is we bury the old person and we are raised up as a new person in Christ. You give your life to God. You say, I want a new life with Christ. I want a new life in the Lord. You're baptized to bury the old and be raised up as a new person. Sometimes people say things like, well, I just don't see why I need to be baptized. I mean, what's so important about that? If Jesus is your Lord, then you follow him. He said, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Now, I was baptized as a child. Of course, I don't remember. My mom took me to a little church where they baptized babies. But it's hard to confess Jesus when you can't talk yet. So then when I was 19, I got born again, and then I was baptized in the Bible way. So John said, I came to bring repentance and water baptism. But there's one coming greater than me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we're born again, make Jesus Lord. We're baptized, bury the old man, raised up as a new man, a new woman in Christ. And then the Lord will fill our lives with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now remember in Acts chapter 2, when the church was born in the beginning of all that Christianity is about. Jesus had died 40 days earlier. The day of Pentecost comes 50 days after the cross, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on all who were there believing and waiting for him. And the Bible said when the Holy Spirit came in, it was like a rushing mighty wind, and there was tongues of fire. It's like you could see fire over all of the people. There was 120 people, men and women, filled with the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, and there was fire around them. Man, that must have been an amazing sight. But John says this baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire is for all who believe. Now, it's interesting. God doesn't just want you to be filled with the Spirit. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit and with fire. So, of course, this is a spiritual a symbol. It's communicating kind of allegorically, parabolically, that this fire burns in us. That if you are this kind of a Christian, you have fire on the inside of you. Fire is an amazing force, isn't it? An amazing power. One thing we can all say about fire is it doesn't leave anything that it touches the same. It makes it hotter. It makes it warmer. It will consume it if it's a certain kind of fuel. Fire changes things. So as a Christian, if there's no change in your life, right? Pre-Christ, post-Christ, before Jesus, after Jesus, if you've got the Holy Spirit and fire, one thing we know, there's a change. Something's changed in your life. Your spirit has changed. Your attitude has changed. Your lifestyle has changed. Your behavior has changed. How you do life, how you view life is changed by the Holy Spirit and fire. Many people come to the Lord, they have a religious idea. It's like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe that way now. Well, what's changed? Well, you know, I was kind of raised that way. I've always believed that way. It's kind of the always. So pre-Christ, post-Christ, nothing changed. Okay, I have a problem with that because I'm asking, where's the fire? Where's the heat? Where's the change? What's impacted you? I know there was a difference BC and AD. right? You understand what I'm saying? Before Christ and after Christ, there is a difference. Many people, you can't tell. In fact, if you go to the people at your office, people at your shop, people that you work with, and you say, did you know I was a Christian? And they're like, no. You? You're kidding, right? I never would have dreamed you were a Christian. That should tell you something. Right? That should tell you, where is the fire? Because if you got the Holy Spirit and fire, people are coming up to you and you're saying, you say, you know, something different, but I feel some heat. Feel some heat coming off of you. Do you know how to pray? Could you pray for me and my wife? Could you pray for my kids? I've been sick. Could you pray? Do you guys believe in healing? Because I seems like you're a Christian, right? When you have that spirit and that fire, people begin to realize it. And even if they don't want it, they're glad to know somebody that's got it. So where's the fire in our lives? That's the key to revival, the Holy Spirit and fire. When Jesus and the Holy Spirit fill our lives, we have a passion. There's a burning. There's a heat that comes off of us that affects everything we do. Right? Not just Sundays or the one time we go to church every 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, we know the average person comes to church. I mean, the average person who does go to church, which is a minority, but of those who do go to church, it's every few weeks. It's not even weekly for most people. And so you have to ask, where's the fire? One of the things that may be happening is we don't fuel our fire very well. And maybe this is the problem for many of us. How many campers are in the church today? Campers, they go camping. You like the campground, you have the fire, roast the heart. Yeah, I mean, there's like one or two brave people. The rest of you, well, you don't like camping, you're scared to admit it. How many like camping and fires and ants and dirt, right? Yeah, so when I grew up, my grandpa would take us camping a lot. Springtime, summertime, we would go camping a lot. And I loved it because we got to build fires. What little kid doesn't like fire? And you get marshmallows and hot dogs. I mean, we're living the dream. Kids with fire and sticks. I mean, what can go wrong, right? So we loved that, and we did that a lot of times. And I always had to go collect wood for the fire. You got to fuel your fire, or it'll burn out, right? And then at nighttime, we're getting ready for bed, and so you have to let the fire burn down. Sometimes we'd spread the wood out so that it didn't burn bright and burn hot, and it would just die down. Now, normally, in the morning, when we got up, you couldn't see any flame, but there was some fire below the ashes. Right? So you push your wood back together. Maybe you blow on it. Maybe you throw some light kindling on there and you get that thing and the flame comes back. I'm convinced much of the church is that fire has gone out, but there's a little bit left down under the ashes. And if we could just get together, stir it up. The Bible said, rekindle the fire. Fan the flames. If we could just get you burning again, I think we would see a revival and some amazing things that God wants to do in our life. So for those of you here at church today, here's the word of the Lord. Get off your ashes and fan the flames of revival. Right? Get that fire burning. I know it's down there. I know it's in there, but you got to get off your ash and get some fuel. Now, how do we fuel the fire? Okay, well, think of our spiritual disciplines. Hunger for God is the beginning. If you hunger for God, you will be filled. Jesus wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hunger for it. If you're not hungry, God can't do anything in your life. He can only move according to your desire. If you're hungry for God, you'll be filled. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will draw near to you, the Bible said. Remember James chapter 4. Submit to God, resist the devil, and God will draw near to you. You have to lean in. You have to submit and get committed and stop playing with the devil. Stop allowing the world to consume your life. Number three, know God's word. Speak God's word. This is the fuel. These are the spiritual disciplines that light a fire in our heart and cause our lives to burn bright and be warm and affect and influence people around us. Know God's word. What does God's word say about healing? What does it say about your provision, your needs and your dreams, your desires and your vision? What does God's word say about marriage and parenting? Know it. Pray it. Pray God's word for your children. Thank you, Father, for my children. They are the heritage of the Lord. I know that they are a gift from God. I commit to bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's not hard. You could know that. You could learn that. You could pray that. See, now you're fueling your fire. You're not just, you know how some people pray? Okay, if I'm talking about you, look straight ahead. No one will know. But when you listen to some people pray, you know there's no fire. Wow. Oh, God. I just pray. I mean, you know. Of course God knows. God doesn't move in your life because he knows what you need. God moves in your life because you believe and you pray and you reach out and you use your faith and you speak his word. Do you know that the Bible said God watches over his word to perform it? So Wendy and I don't just pray for healing when we need healing in our home. We say, thank you, Father. You bore our sickness. You carried our disease. And with your stripes, we are healed. See, that's fuel on your fire. That's the spiritual disciplines of knowing and praying the word of God. Worship every day. Worship. I lift up my hands in my office. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your hand upon my children. Thank you for blessing our church family. I worship you, God. Some of you would do well with music. Get your YouTube open. Any Christian song you want to sing along to is on YouTube or Apple Music. And you just turn on your phone, and if you have a speaker or whatever, or in your car. And you sing, and you're the only one there, so you sound so good. Just worship God. I know most Christians don't worship regularly because when they're in church worshiping, they're uncomfortable. Wow. It's not normal for them. These are the spiritual disciplines that cause your Christianity to be real, something more than a religious day or a religious moment, but actually a lifestyle that we live every day. That's how you feed your fire, right? Because if you only try a little bit when you're at church, your fire, I mean, you're nothing but ashes. Your ash is dragging by the time you get back to church. And then you try to get fired up again, but then it's another 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Your ash is dragging. And then you kind of get fired up again. But what if every day your spiritual disciplines, you're feeding your fire, you're burning with the Holy Spirit? So worship God every day. Sing in the Spirit. Worship God in the Spirit. That's not hard. You got that. and you're alone. So it's only you and God. You sound great. Of course, prayer in the Spirit, love, giving yourself away, and just learning to love people, give yourself to people. A lot of people, it's about me, right? A lot of talk about me time, self-love. When your vision is internal, you will struggle. When your vision goes out, you will be blessed. Where there is no vision, people perish. The fire goes out. Where there's a vision to love people, to pray for your community, to pray for your family, to bless others, now that will inspire you, infire you, right? So these are the spiritual disciplines that keep the fire burning. Think of it like this. God empowers you for influential living. God does not empower you for self-centered living. God empowers you to be a blessing. And when you be a blessing, you be blessed. That's how it works. When you give, it's given unto you. When the fire burns, you warm others, you in turn are warmed, right? You are lifted. So that's God's will. He empowers you to influence, to affect the world around you. If you don't care about the world around you, you've gotten self-centered. Your vision has turned inward. It's all about me and mine, and there's no blessing there. It doesn't work that way. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bible app, Christian Faith Church app, you can find all these scriptures in our notes on the media page. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul tells Timothy in verse 6 to stir up the gifts of God that are in him. Stir it up. The word here literally is fan the flames. Fan the flames. Blow the ashes off your fire. Don't let fear and worry and negative world around you cover your fire. Stir up the fire of God within you. Fan the flame. Blow on that flame and get it burning bright. Stir it up. Is there heat inside there? Because we can't tell. Need to stir it up. Is there fire burning in there? Because we can't feel any heat coming off of you. Stir it up. Fan that flame. Get that thing burning a little bit hotter. No one else can do that for you. The Lord knows I'm trying. Right? I'm trying to lift and empower and motivate and stir. But if you don't want it, you'll never get it. Well, I went to that Christian Faith Center. And a case of treat. I don't know what he's talking about. Didn't do me no good. Okay. What about Jesus? Can he do you some good? What about the Holy Spirit? Can he help you? Right? You got to decide. I'm going in. I'm going to fan the flames. I'm going to stir this fire of God in my soul. I got fire shut up in my bones. Time to start letting it burn and letting it flow out and warm my family and warm my friends at work and warm the people around me. I got to get this fire burning. I cannot be a quiet, weak, religious person. I must be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Come on, somebody shout amen. So Paul says to Timothy, stir it up. And then look at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's not making us nervous. The world might be trying to. The world might be trying to push you down with worry, anxiety, trepidation, fear. But God didn't give you no spirit of fear. Wendy and I have been amazed. We've been to churches. We've been to Christian families. We've been with various people around the nation, even around the world. We have been amazed how many people are nervous. They live nervous. They're nervous about viruses. They're nervous about government. They're nervous about money. They're nervous about their kids. They live uptight. But the Bible said God did not give you a spirit of fear. And literally, it's also translated timidity, to be timid, kind of hold back, withdrawn. Now, I know we all have different personalities, right? When I'm not teaching in church, I tend to be the guy that's a little more quiet. I'm not going to be out telling jokes. I'm not going to be out real loud. So we all have our own personality. But if you're timid, if you're holding back, if you're nervous, well, I don't really know them. Well, they're different kind of people than me. Well, they're not my people. Well, they're different age, different gender, different race, different tribe, different nationality. Right? God didn't give you that spirit. That means you got that spirit from the world. You're letting the spirit of the world run your life. Now, people wonder, why do I end up sick? How come I can't get out of debt? Why am I stuck in this financial trouble? How come my marriage is not working? My kids, it's not flowing. You've let the wrong spirit in your life. You got to stir up that Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants to bless you, heal you, bring your family together, bring prosperity to you. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love, sound mind. Now, over the past weeks, we've had close to 100 people a week at Christian Faith, in Federal Way, in Mill Creek, online friends, 100 a week being born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. So if you're filled with the Spirit, then there's no fear. No fear. God takes that fear out, and God puts power, love, sound mind, disciplined mind, clear mind into your life. Do you embrace that? Do you believe that? Maybe you need to start saying it every morning. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind. My mind is clear. I love everybody. Power of God flows through me. I'm stirring up the gift of God in my life. Right? Maybe you need to start, because the world's been telling you, be nervous, be scared, hold back, be quiet. You Christians, you're a hater. That's bad. You believe that? Ooh, you're evil. World keeps trying to push you back, push you down. Cancel culture. Maybe you've bought in to the spirit of the world and you've let it push you down. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear, of power, love, sound mind. Had a funny experience this week. Went out on the golf course. Had three guys there that I didn't know. They just got assigned to me. I met them on the first tee. Well, I realized right away these guys are partying. They've gotten an Airbnb. It's a guys group. And they're just golfing and partying. I don't know for how long. A few days, I'm sure. By the first hole, they're already drunk. They got the beers, they got the lemonade, the hard lemonade. You know, I don't even know all that they got going on. They're having fun. They're loud. You know, I'm already there fresh for Casey! First hole, we're throwing clubs. Not me, but they're throwing golf. One comes zipping by me, and the other guy, be careful, you almost hit Casey. Nice. All right, bro. This is going to be a wonderful show for me to watch. So after a few holes, the one guy says to me, you want a beer? I said, no, I feel so good, bro. That would bring me down. You know, what? You're kidding, right? I said, no, I'm good. I don't drink. He said, you don't drink at all? Like nothing? I mean, I drink water. I don't drink. Hey, guy, Casey don't drink at all. This is our day, right? I'm trying to hit golf shots and stay out of the way. But it's very entertaining. It's a funny thing about you drunks. Very entertaining. So they're losing balls, throwing golf clubs. They're having a lot of fun, but it's pretty crazy. Finally, the one guy says to me, this is about hole number 10 or 11. He says to me, hey, Case, you know where I can get some Coke? So I'm thinking like Coca-Cola? Coke Zero? Diet Coke? No, he's looking for some cocaine. So I said, nah, brah. You don't use any cocaine? Nah. Did you ever? I said, I did one time. As a teenager. Yeah. All the drugs, all the alcohol. Yeah, I did all of that. Really? You quit? Yeah, quit. When did you quit? Well, I was 20. Became a Christian. What? You don't drink at all. He can't comprehend, partly because he's totally smashed. But he's can't comprehend how I live. So you don't use any drugs now? I said, no. And I said it again. You know, I feel so good that if I snorted some Coke right now, it would bring me down. Some of you don't know that yet. You so look forward to that glass of wine. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have your glass of wine. I think you should have your glass of wine. Have your beer, whatever you'd like. I'm not sure about the cocaine, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to get to is this. When you get this fire, what the world has to offer just brings you down. You don't need to get something to pick you. I just need a little to take the edge off. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will burn that edge off. I just need something, you know, to, right? That's what I'm talking about. God and the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Lord wants to fill your life to really bring change, empower to move you into a whole new realm. Not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God's trying to bring into your life. Power, love, discipline, clear mind. Not depressed, not anxious, not scared, not nervous. Clear mind. So we're on about, I don't know what it was, hole number 15 or 16 or something like this. And the one guy's driving the golf cart and he catches a wheel on the edge of a bunker and he flips the golf cart. Well, while the golf cart is in the air flipping, the clubs come out, the bags go one way, beer and everything is going on. I mean, the course looked like a yard sale. And this guy's laying on the ground with the golf cart upside down. I went up to him later, after everybody recovered. Hey, bro, you okay? Yeah, I'll be fine. This life doesn't work, guys. It doesn't work. The hangover, the embarrassment, when they see the bills, when they start paying, they were paying hundreds of dollars to the golf cart lady for beers and alcohol. They don't even know how much they spent. This is not working out well. How do I know? Been there and done that. But when the Holy Spirit and the fire from God starts burning in your life, You get to a new place. You find a new satisfaction. You find a new fulfillment. That fire, that's what I want you to have. You can't have that being kind of religious. You got to go all in. You got to be filled with the Spirit, pray with the Spirit, and ask God for that fire to burn in your heart so that you have something that the world didn't give you and the world can't take it away. Right? That's what we're all looking for. When we say America needs a revival, that's what we're talking about. Fire on the inside that empowers us to live higher lives. All right, let me give you a couple scriptures before I run out of time. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness before light and light for darkness, who put bitter before sweet and sweet for bitter. Right now, the Christian is called a hater. The Christian is called evil because you believe the Bible. You believe that we should live the way God created us to live, and that husbands and wives should make their marriage work, and moms and dads should raise their children. That's bad. That's not what we want in our society. So the Christian is the most hated individual right now. Woe when they call good evil, and when they call evil good. We're going to celebrate a man as the woman of the year. You would think women would. No, they call evil good. Whoa. When God says whoa, we all should whoa. Wake up. Beware. When you call evil good and good evil, America needs a revival. Let the revival start in us, Lord. Let me just close with this story from Daniel chapter 3. You know the story. I don't need to read the end of it. At least most of you would. If you've never read it, just start at the beginning of Daniel chapter 3. Read the whole chapter. Great story. But here's how it starts. A herald cried aloud. So this was the media of the day. This is the president's press secretary. This is the White House speaking. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, symphony, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down in worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. You remember the story now? Yeah. So King Nebuchadnezzar made this big tower, and he called this some kind of god, some kind of idol to himself. And so when the music played, we're all going to submit. We're all going to surrender. We're all going to get in line. We're all going to bow to the king. Well, there's three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We call them children. They're actually young men. And they said, no, not going to bow. And some people knew they wouldn't bow, and they were trying to set them up. They were trying to get them. So the music played. They didn't bow. They worship God. They serve the Lord. They have a relationship that's stronger than what the world says. Is your relationship with God stronger than what the media says, what pop culture says, what the world says? So they didn't bow. Well, they went and told the king, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they didn't bow. King said, bring those guys in here. So they said to the king, no, we didn't bow, and we're not going to bow. And you read the story because it's really amazing. They said to the king, if you throw us in the fiery furnace, our God will deliver us. But if not, we still won't bow. Now, when they said, but if not, what did they mean? If God doesn't deliver us, we'll go to heaven. We won't bow. We only bow to the Father. Or even if you don't throw us in the fire, we're still not going to bow. See, sometimes the world tries to bless you. Oh, we'll take care of you. Oh, we got free stuff for you. All you got to do is sign. All you got to do is bow. Do you bow? Sometimes they try to scare you. Sometimes they try to bless you. Do you bow? I had somebody tell me more than once over the years, if you will let us announce our business in church, we will bring all of our people to Christian faith. And I said, if you would serve the Lord, you can bring all your people wherever you want to go. No, I'm not going to bow. What the hell is wrong with you? You don't know me. You know, if they listen to me for 10 minutes, they'd figure that out. We don't bow. But you have to decide. You throw me in the fire, I won't bow. I'll go to heaven. I'm happy to go.
Yeah, that's good.
But if you don't throw me in the fire, I'm still not going to bow. Well, you know how the story goes. They threw him in the fire. And they turned up the heat 7 times. And the scripture said that the guards that threw him in, they all burned up. They got so hot that they burned and died standing as they threw the 3 Hebrews into the fire. But the Hebrews, they just stood up in the furnace. The scripture said they were walking around. And the king looked in and he saw 4. And he said to his counselors, didn't we throw 3 in the fire? Listen to what the king said. I see 4 men in the fire, and the 4th is like the Son of God. Now, here's my question. How does he know what the Son of God looks like? You know what that tells me? The world knows what's true. They know what's right. They know what's good. Some of these guys, they say they're members of church. They've grown up in church. They know what's good and they know what's right. Now their own church won't let them take communion. They know what's good and they know what's right. But they keep saying, evil is good, good is evil. They know. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, he saw that 4th man and he said, you Hebrew kids, come on out here. Well, they climbed out. The 3 climbed out. You know, the scripture said, you read it in Daniel chapter 3. They did not smell like smoke. That's amazing. I mean, you can't even walk past a club if they're smoking. You're going to smell like it. They were in the fire. And it did not get on them. If you are full of the Holy Ghost and fire, the world and its smell will not get on you. You know what happened then? King Nebuchadnezzar said to the Hebrew men, your God is the real God, the true God. And we're going to honor your God all over Babylon. God can turn it around just that quick if we don't bow. If we'll have some kind of a different spirit. If we'll have some kind of a fire shut up in our bones. If we'll have some kind of a passion and commitment to the Lord. God can turn around our circumstances in a moment. Let's not bow, church. Let's not bow. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.